Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Perhaps the Reformation hasn't ended. And I believe this to be the case, that the Reformation is still ongoing. And it's funny that Stephanie talked about the Reformation in our children's message, and so did Luther's zeal. But perhaps it hasn't ended because of this. There are still so many struggles in the church, the greater church, over the place of works and salvation, grace and works. It is so common in the majority of churches you go into today, especially in evangelical America, to hear that it is your works that save you. I cannot tell you how many times I've been to funerals in evangelical churches, and this is what you hear. So-and-so was such a good person, and they did this, and they did this, and oh, look how good they are. So they're in heaven because of it. That's the wrong answer. And so many churches still today believe that when you sin, the grace of God is turned off. And that if you die while that grace of God is turned off in that period of your sinfulness, you die and you go to hell. I would be in trouble because as soon as I leave the parking lot, I've already sinned. I don't know what I would do. And our lessons for today, especially our epistle lesson for today, really hashes up for us this thing about grace and works and salvation and the right place that it has in the kingdom of God. And I think it reinforces what we as Lutherans believe, that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that no one shall boast. Christians should believe that. After all, it comes from Ephesians. But so many churches lose that. They lose the concept. And how many times have you heard good Christians say, well, I hope I've been a good person, so I hope I go to heaven? My answer to that is, if you're hoping, then you're in trouble. Because the answer is, you should know whether you're going to heaven. And that's by virtue of baptism and faith. To properly understand the relationships of works and salvation, Paul uses a very easy example for us to understand in our lesson for today. To properly understand the relationship of works and salvation, Paul uses a very easy example for us to understand. He talks about this old relationship with God, and the old relationship being that of the Old Testament. And that old relationship, it was rooted in works. It was works-based. The more works you did, the better chance you had of going to heaven. By following the Ten Commandments perfectly, you would go to heaven. It was all works-based. That was the reality of the Old Covenant. And so much so that when God established the Old Covenant, he said to his people, you follow my commandments perfectly and you will live. If you don't follow my commandments perfectly, you will what? Die. And surely you will die by not obeying the commandments that I have given to you this day. So that old covenant, that old promise that God had made with his people, it was works-based. And it was based on the way you lived your life. Can you imagine having to live that way today? Could you imagine if your life and your works and your actions are what saves you? There are churches who still teach that. I can't imagine it. Death had to occur for that old relationship, for the old covenant to become a new one. Now, we already talked about this just a minute ago. In that old relationship, if you didn't follow the law perfectly, you would die, and you were sentenced to death, to eternal death in hell. And that's the promise. And that's why God sent Jesus into the world. That's why God sent Jesus into the world, to make a new covenant, to fulfill the old covenant by living a perfect, righteous life for you and for me. That's the reason Jesus, when he was tempted, that's the reason he did not sin. He did not sin because he was living that perfect, righteous life so that when God would look at us, he would see perfection, he would see righteousness, he would see Jesus himself. And that's what he sees when he looks down upon you and he looks down upon me. And Jesus died. He died to fulfill that old covenant. He died to fulfill that old covenant so that it would go away. But see, the other thing that happened in Jesus dying is that in a covenant, somebody has to die. One side has to die. When a covenant was made, this is what happened. And something was sacrificed, and the blood would be scattered, and you would walk through that blood because the promise, the covenant, had to be sealed in blood and in death. So if one side broke the covenant who broke, the side who broke the covenant would die. Jesus himself, in shedding his blood, took on the covenant, the new covenant, upon himself. So every time we sin, it is the death of Jesus that sets us free. Every time we sin, it is the death of Jesus that sets us free into the glory and grace of God. We do not deserve this, but because of Jesus, because of God and his love for us, because of God and his grace for you and for me, he gives us Jesus Christ so that now when we sin, our sins are forgiven and we stand perfect and righteous before our God. In fact, Paul plainly says in verse 4, "So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear good fruit. So, my brothers, you also died to the body of Christ." Our old sinful nature is dead. It is gone. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you died in the body of Christ so that you might belong to one another. Wait a minute, I don't belong to anybody. Do I? I do. I belong to you. And by virtue of the death of Jesus and his resurrection, you belong to me. Now look next to yourself, to each other. Turn to your left and turn to your right, because guess what? Now that's an instruction. Turn to your left, turn to your right. You belong to the people sitting next to you. Because when Jesus died, he brought us into this beautiful community to bear each other's burdens, to care for each other, and to lift each other up in love. But even more than that, it says that we belong to the body of Christ in order that we might bear fruit for God. Here is where works come in. It is by God's grace that you and I can bear fruit. It is by God's grace that you and I get to do good works. It is by God's grace, his overwhelming grace in our life, that we are set free by an overwhelming flood of love and mercy and grace that is continually being poured into our lives by word and by sacrament, that we are able to love not only each other, but our community and the world. The world would change if every Christian church would get this. The world would be different if every Christian church would get the fact that it is by God's grace that we are set free to do good works, not to earn salvation, but to love others so that they might go to heaven. That's the key. And it is in baptism that all of this happens. It is in baptism that we are buried with Christ. It is in baptism that we are raised with Christ. It is in baptism where God floods us with his Holy Spirit and his grace to set us free to do the good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But wait, I don't always bear good fruit. Do you guys have that problem too? I don't always bear good fruit. When I'm standing in line and somebody in front of me is ordering at the restaurant and they're being a dummy, I'm not always bearing good fruit. And heaven forbid somebody cut me off. I hate being cut off. I hate it. I don't always bear good fruit. And there are some times in my marriage where I don't bear good fruit. I know that will shock my wife. I'm admitting that. But I don't always bear good fruit. Right? This is the wonderful thing that we call as Lutherans, and this is the beautiful doctrine of what we call simul justus et peccator. It is a Latin term that means simultaneously sinner and saint. Even though I am a saint by virtue of baptism and have been given good works to do, there are still times in my life where my old sinful nature clings to me. Let me give you an example. I had a professor in seminary that said this. When you are baptized, the old Adam, the sinful nature, he dies, right? We know that, right? Yes. Right, okay. So imagine there's a small lake, okay, and we're in good health, right? We can swim across that small lake without a problem. It's pretty easy to swim, isn't it? Now imagine there's dead weight tied around you, the old Adam. Now it's dead, but it's still tied around you. Try swimming across that lake. Can you do it? Sure you can. Because first of all, the dead body's lighter in water. You may have to stop, and you may have to take a break, and you may have to rest, and you may have to breathe, and we'll talk about that in a minute because that's life, isn't it? But you can still swim across that lake. That's what happens when the old sinful nature rises up. But because of the gloriousness and grace and love of God, we stand forgiven. You see, it is by grace that we have been saved, and by grace that we bear good fruit or good works. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is what is poured out upon us in our baptism. It is what is poured out upon us by the cross. It is what is poured out upon us by the Lord's Supper. It is what is poured out upon us by God's Word. Every perfect and righteous gift of God, peace, love, forgiveness, mercy, and eternal life, and so on, is grace poured out upon us in our lives by God and His wonderful means, so that we may do one thing and one thing only. And that is what God asks of us: to do good works, to love other people, to show people the way to heaven so that they too might be saved. In John 15, Jesus says this: remain in me so that I may remain in you. It's the vine and the branches, right? That's John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me so that I may remain in you. Here's the kicker, guys. The more we hang out in Jesus, and that's what Jesus is talking about, the more we hang out in Jesus, whether that's in worship or in the Word or in sacraments or doing devotions at home privately or doing devotions with our family, the more we hang around in Jesus, the stronger our life gets. The more we hang around in Jesus, the stronger we become. The more we hang around in Jesus, the more works that we do. And that's simply what Jesus wants. This is so easy. It's so easy. We make it so complicated. Jesus, really, all he wants is for us to hang around in him. That's it. Hang around in him, and we are saved. A good litmus test for your faith today is to look at your life this week. Just pay attention to yourself. Are you hanging around in Jesus? Look at your works. What kind of works are you producing? Are you producing fruit in keeping with faith? If not, the old Adam needs to be drowned a little more, doesn't he? The old Adam needs to be drowned a little more, and it's simple to do. Get in God's Word and read it, because every time we read the Word, the old Adam is drowned. Come to church and receive the sacrament, because every time you receive the sacrament, the old Adam is crushed and drowned. Every time you receive the means of grace, every time you hear God's Word, every time you come to this place in fellowship, just like we did this week with our first family night, which was a huge success. When we gather even in fellowship, the old Adam is drowned because he can't be there where God's people are gathered. Remember what St. Paul said just a few verses ago. He said, we belong to one another. That means in fellowship too. The old Adam is drowned, and we experience God's grace. And hang around with Jesus. Hang around with him. Take time to get to know him more. Take time to study him more. Take time to be in a Bible study. Take time to love him. Take time to let him love you. And the old Adam drowns. My brothers and sisters, it's as simple as this. Allow God's grace to seep into every crevice in your life, and the works you do will not only bring glory to Jesus, but will save people around you from sin, death, and the devil. In the name of Jesus, amen.